Your year-end gift to WBEZ can power the news you rely on all year long. And when you give today, you can pick up our 2026 Mural and Mosaics calendar as our thank you gift. It features stunning photos by Chicago public media photojournalists and puts the artistry of Chicago on display in your home. Give before December 17th to get it before the new year. Take a look at WBEZ.org/calendar.
Hey, Chicago. I'm Mary Dixon in for Sasha Ann Simons, and this is In the Loop. Stick around for a breakdown of the day's top local news stories later in the podcast. First, we'll get into the conversation you just clicked on. I'm joined by Sienna Greaves, senior producer of talk shows here at WBEZ. Sienna, we got to hang out with Robert Townsend.
How cool, Mary.
I mean, he is legendary actor, writer, director. He's done so much in his career. You know, just the millennials that I work with, like you, who are so excited about his role creating and starring in Parenthood.
And also just an incredibly humble and gracious guest. It was so amazing having him in studio. He stayed and took pictures with all of us. It was kind of like, yeah, I think this is one of my only starstruck moments. In public radio, no offense, Dick Durbin, but I mean, this is Robert Townsend.
I mean, he deserves it. He is a great star and a great Chicagoan.
What's your favorite Robert Townsend movie?
I would say The Five Heartbeats is great. I also, he had a very teeny tiny part in Cooley High from the mid-70s, which is one of the great Chicago movies and much harder to find than the Blues Brothers.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's just great. And I've loved seeing him on The Bear.
An incredible body of work. And like Cooley High, The Bear, I remember he directed The Mighty Quinn, Raw, and he's managed to not just entertain people, but stay so relevant over these decades. He is in The Bear, which is one of the biggest shows in the country right now.
Mm-hmm. But also the fact, and we talked about this a little bit, about how he has been creating his own stories and showing his own stories and not leaving them up to other people to portray him. He is showing what it is to be your own author.
There's a lot of power in that, Mary. If you look back at Hollywood Shuffle and some of his other films, yes, he's the author of his own story, and he doesn't shy away from the struggles that go into, you know, sort of carving your own path.
Thanks, Sienna.
No worries. Thank you, Mary.
I spoke with Robert Townsend about his decades-long career in film, TV, and theater, and about giving back to Chicago during this holiday season. What are you doing here this weekend?
Well, I'm doing the Robert Townsend Pop-Up Film Festival. It is a fundraiser for the West Side NAACP. One of my oldest friends has been the president of the West Side branch, Carl Brinson, for 10 years now. And it's also a fundraiser for the Answer, Inc., which is an autism advocacy foundation founded by my good friend, Deborah Vines. So it is 2 days at Columbia College. We've got partners. I've partnered with President Bolton over there, mm-hmm. and I've partnered with the mayor's office. And I've also partnered with a young filmmaker, and he hosts a festival here as well, Troy Pryor, XL. So it's a full day of events. Saturday, the 6th, I am doing a master class on filmmaking at Columbia College from 9 until 10:30. And then I'm going to be showing one of my favorite movies as a kid, The Spook Who Sat by the Door, at 11 o'clock.
I'm not familiar with that movie. If someone wanted to see it, what's the draw? What's the elevator pitch for The Spook Who Sat by the Door?
Oh, my God. It is a movie that came out in the 70s, and it's about the first African-American CIA agent, but he really goes through all this rigorous training to be a Xerox copier in the organization.
What?
And then eventually he starts a revolution.
Okay.
And it was shot in Gary, Indiana. The film came out. It was in the theater for 1 day. And then I told everybody at school how great it was. And then it was gone. It disappeared for 20 years.
Wow.
They burned the copies because it's about revolution. It's about people working together. And Tim Reed, the filmmaker, actor, he eventually found one copy, and then he made DVDs of it. He called me, and then I'm on the director's commentary.
Okay.
It was directed by Ivan Dixon.
Ivan Dixon from Hogan's Heroes, people
yes,
may
ma'am.
Know. And Tim Reed, I believe, was Venus Flytrap on WKRP in Cincinnati.
You know your stuff, young
Great
lady.
Great actors and directors.
Yes.
Wow.
So I'm showing that film, and then I'm showing my film, The Five Heartbeats, at 3 o'clock, which people love because it was all based on Motown and where, you know, from Chicago, that was the music that, you know, fueled my soundtrack as a kid.
Right. And classic.
Classic. And so, and then that evening, we're going to have a game night. So it's all kind of games. Everything's going toward charity. So we're going to play Bidwhist, Spades, Uno, Scrabble, you name it. So we're just going to have fun.
So anyone can play. I understand your Bidwhist partner is the founder of the Black Ensemble Theater here, Jackie Taylor.
Jackie Taylor. We're movie mates because we were both in the classic film Cooley High. But she is going to be my partner for the Bidwhist tonight. I was here for the opening of her show, and she does wonderful shows over there. So mm-hmm. she's going to be my partner.
So I know you live in L.A. full-time these days, but clearly you are still in touch with friends and colleagues that you came up with on the West Side. Who were some of the folks that you looked up to when you were, you know, cast as a sort of lower level actor on Cooley High, one of the great Chicago movies, if you can find it?
Oh, thank you so much. No, my mentor when I was a kid, 15 years old, and he was my first director, Mr. Paymoon Rami, and his wife Masakwa Myers. And he's working with me on this festival now. So he's been my mentor and role model. And he was the first one. He got me into Mahogany as an extra, mm-hmm. you know, with Billy Dee and Diana Ross. But it was him.
Mahogany, another, you know, another movie, I think, from 1975 that was, I believe, filmed at least partly in Chicago. The Diana Ross movie. That was filmed all in Chicago, wasn't it? It was based here. Or it was set in Chicago, I want to say. I'll let you clear your throat. But yeah, so two of your earliest, you know, professional jobs were on these great movies, Mahogany and Cooley High. And so the one of the people you worked with there, you're still in touch with and still working with today.
Yes, Mr.
Right?
Rami, he was my first director and first producer. And he really taught me, like when people look at my first film, Hollywood Shuffle, and they go, how did you write, you know, co-write, direct, produce, star, do all of that stuff? And when you see other people doing it, I was at the Lamont Zeno Theater, I was at X-Bag, and he mm-hmm. was writing, directing, producing. And so when you're around it, it doesn't, you know, you can see doing it.
You are involved in a lot of local projects filming currently in and around Chicago, including The Bear. You are Io Edebiri's dad.
Yes.
Emmanuel. And you're directing episodes for The Chi, Power Book 4 Force. What does it mean for you to be able to come back here and be part of this current, present creative community in Chicago?
It feels so good. I am so blessed to be a part of The Bear. It is so well written, so well directed, produced, acting. Chris Storr, who is the showrunner, is, I call him the young Orson Welles because he dresses up. He wears a little suit or he'll have a sweater with a tie, and he just brings a class to directing, and he's just a genius watching his eyes. The Force, this Friday is an episode that airs that I directed for season 3.
Okay.
And so it airs, and on Sunday, I'm going to show the episode on the big screen, and a lot of the cast is coming out. Kendra Chapman, who is the showrunner, writer on the show, she's going to be there. So I love coming home. And it's funny because when I come back, I shoot in my old neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like so cool. And one of the neighborhoods we went into, it was next to my cousin's church, Reverend Brooks, you know, Harmony. So I just feel blessed.
And what neighborhood is that?
It's on the west side, but it's like Millard around there.
Oh, okay.
Right there.
When you're coming back to help out your friend who now leads the West Side chapter of the NAACP.
Carl Brinson.
You know, what's your reasoning for that? What's the draw this year for Chicago, a town which I've been saying all year, we do not back down?
Well, let me say this. My heart got touched in full when I was watching the news and I saw all of the people out there marching and fighting for human rights. And I was like, wow, look at Chicago. You know, I had grandmothers out there, teenagers, you know, and little, you know, people that care and care about human rights and care about justice. Mm-hmm. And then I said, what can I do? And so then I called Carl and I said, hey, man, let's do a pop-up film festival. And that was 5 weeks ago.
Oh, wow.
And we're almost all sold out. You know, Sunday is all sold out, but there's tickets for Saturday. But it was 5 weeks, and then everybody came together. And like I said, you know, Columbia College said, you're going to have the school for free. You know, President, you know, Bolton over there, the mayor's office said, we're going to give you the Chicago Cultural Center. Troy Pryor says, I've got troops. We can make it happen. And this was all 5 weeks.
Wow, that is amazing. People are activated. I think especially right now, people are activated to do something to lift the city up because we need a little lifting.
Well, you know, here's the thing. Chicago will always be strong. And I think when the times get tough, the tough people just dig in and do what they have to do. And so when I was watching the thousands and thousands of people in the streets and everybody was activated because it is about justice. It is about freedom. And, you know, if someone suffers on that other side of the street, you know, we all suffer. So I just think it's the human thing and the right thing to do. And that's why I am here.
We're talking with Robert Townsend, actor, director, writer, Chicago native, comedian. A number of my millennial colleagues were extremely excited because the dad from The Parenthood was here.
Oh, God bless him.
How often do you get that?
You know, I got emotional the other day. I was doing an interview, and the gentleman came up and said he didn't have a father in his life, and I was his father. And he says, you don't understand, you raised me. The Parenthood had morals and values and was very funny. And that was kind of my Trojan horse. I wanted to do a television series because on TV now, you don't really want television to be the babysitter. When I was a kid, it was a babysitter. Mm-hmm. I would watch The Andy Griffith Show and learn lessons from Opie. I would watch My Three Sons, you name it, Father Knows Best. I watched all of those shows. Now, you know, there's too much stuff that the kids, you know, you got to be careful. So I set, you know, an intention to, you know, do a TV series for 5 years and hopefully raise a whole generation of kids. And now those kids come up to me and say, you know, they're adults now. And they go, no, you really taught me a lot.
And it's not just that they see you performing that role. You really have forged this path where you are creating the story. And a lot of that creation seems to have to do with building your own story, building a better story, like Hollywood Shuffle, showing what you got to go through, like the spook who sat by the door. You know, you are taking these stories and turning them into something for other people to see, like, yeah, you can write your own story.
Well, you know, thank you for that. Here's the thing. Movies and television shows are powerful. And the images you see or the images you don't see can affect you. It's one or the other. I choose to create positive images of people of color. That's what once I did Hollywood Shuffle, I go, oh, there's power. I was in France and there was a journalist, this French journalist. And I remember he changed my life because he goes, I'm so confused by your film, Mr. Townsend. You know, I only see the positive jive sucker and the actors seem to enjoy it, you know. And I was like, wow. Movies and images travel around the world like a bad publicist spreading lies. So I said, that's what I made my commitment to make the movies that I make and the TV shows that I create.
And spread love and spread truth. One more question for you. Favorite films to watch during the holidays with your family? Do you have any?
Favorite? Oh, yeah. I mean, well, you know, it's so funny when you say holiday because I love It's a Wonderful Life. Mm. I love Die Hard. What else?
Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
It is a Christmas. It's a gangster, you know, shoot 'em up and all of that. But at the end of the day, it's a love story and the music and everything. John McTiernan, who directed, was absolutely brilliant. And Bruce Willis and Alan Rickman, wonderful cast. So there's different movies for different reasons.
Yeah. Robert Townsend, actor, director, philanthropist this weekend. Thank you.
Thank you.
And one of Chicago's favorite sons. Thank you so much for being here. The Pop-Up Film Festival in Chicago, featuring screenings of your classic films, Saturday at Columbia College Chicago, Sunday at the Cultural Center. Where can people find tickets if they want to pick up the last remaining ones?
If they want to get tickets, they can go to eventnoir.com. Eventnoir.com. Or either they can follow me on social media, and I have all the information there as well. If they go, I don't know how to spell noir. So they can follow me there, Robert Townsend. I'm on Instagram, X, Facebook, all of that. So please get your tickets. And thank you so much again for having me and stepping in the middle.
Yeah, what a pleasure to have you here, Mr. Townsend. Now, a breakdown of today's big headlines. At the table, my Say More co-host, Patrick Smith, WBEZ's Morning Edition anchor, Claire Lane, and Chicago Sun-Times government and politics reporter, Mitchell Armantrout. So, Claire, let's start with you. Attorneys for a group of clergy, protesters, and journalists, including our colleagues from the Sun-Times, are moving to drop a lawsuit they filed to restrict use of force by federal immigration agents in Chicago. We understand they want to drop the lawsuit because...
Yeah, well, I mean, their official reasoning that they're giving, Mary, is that basically, you know, Bovino and his crew are out of town. By out of town, I mean they moved on. We know they were in Charlotte.
They moved on to North Carolina.
Now they say they're going to New Orleans. That they're not here anymore, so there's not any real reason to have this lawsuit continuing, and if they need to refile it, they will. But, you know, John Seidel reporting sort of legal analysis is that they could have been looking at a bad appeals court decision in this case.
Okay.
Because remember, this is the lawsuit that got restrictions on tear gas. It got restrictions on other uses of force by federal agents. And the appeals court put the temporary restraining order on hold, if you'll remember that.
Right.
Or, excuse me, the preliminary injunction on hold.
Right.
And so it was looking like maybe they were going to overturn this, which could set a bad precedent. I think, you know, based on John's reporting and other things that I've seen, that's the real reason. Claire, what have you heard about this?
Yeah, the order imposing the restrictions has been on hold now for 13 days, 14 including today. Mm-hmm. And lawyers essentially for the plaintiffs are saying there's nothing more to be gained from any more of this litigation.
Right.
It's just sort of sitting there and exposing, you know, the brutality of Operation Midway Blitz. So we'll see what comes of this. I mean, I think it's just another example of groups of people speaking up, continuing to speak up and taking action.
Yeah.
Okay. And Mitch, you were reporting on the Trump administration announcing yesterday that it wants to withhold SNAP benefits. These are food stamps in Democratic Party controlled states. What are the details on that?
So this is actually one of the first big fights with the Trump administration and Democratic states that emerged shortly after he was inaugurated back in February. That was one of the first big red flags that Governor J.B. Pritzker and a lot of others raised was basically the administration threatening to deny or basically cut off SNAP funding to states if they don't turn over information about some of the folks that were receiving that aid, specifically looking for the immigration statuses of a lot of the folks who get that money. The Trump administration says that that's a measure to try and root out fraud, which folks acknowledge. You know, there's probably some level of fraud within this $100 billion federal program. But the states like Illinois, which is part of a suit, part of a lawsuit fighting this order, they basically say that that's an overreach and that it threatens people's personal information in the hands of the government. So basically the Trump administration now, this court fight's been dragging on for you know, 8 months now. They're threatening to cut off at the administrative costs of the program starting next week, which the courts have been pretty unequivocal in saying that the federal government can't cut off the funding that goes directly to people who need this to put food on the table. You know, the average disbursement from this program is like $190 a month for people. There's almost 2 million people in Illinois who rely on it. But this now the Trump administration is basically trying to put pressure on these states, the Democratic-led states specifically, by saying that we can cut off the money that you basically need to logistically carry out this program.
So the bottom line would be, I assume that this will interfere with people getting their food benefits and being able to go to the store and buy food.
Potentially, yeah. It's kind of, again, as with most things with the Trump administration, this is kind of uncharted water. Obviously, this is going to be fought in court pretty hard, even for these administrative costs. We're talking about billions of dollars. And most of that money does come from the federal government. These are costs that are split between the state and federal governments, but the bulk of that is from Washington. So
you said this will be fought in court. I mean, how are the Democratic-led states responding to this?
The Illinois Attorney General Kwame Arul, he's part of a lawsuit with 21 other states, almost all of them Democratic states. There's only one Democratic-led state, North Carolina, that has kind of gone along with the edict from Washington so far. And December 8th, next week, that's kind of the cutoff that the Trump administration has said that they're going to cut off these administrative funding for the programs. So I think we're going to see Kwame Raoul and all these other Democratic attorneys general make a full court press in the days ahead in court to try and block that.
The Trump administration, Mitch, is casting doubt on vaccines, has been, is again. Illinois is taking matters into their own hands. What is the new law that Governor Pritzker just signed?
So back in September, the Pritzker administration, by an executive order, established this new independent state committee that has started issuing its own vaccine guidelines, basically setting recommendations for when infants should receive certain shots. And essentially that system has now been codified into state law. And that's basically a response to the Trump administration's Health and Human Services Secretary, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., a noted vaccine skeptic over the years. The Center for Disease and Control Prevention has been pretty well turned over with a lot of folks who have cast doubt on the efficacy of vaccines over the years.
And apparently this week they are talking about putting out some kind of advisory that COVID vaccines were responsible for a certain number of deaths, yeah. Which, as we understand it from scientists, is not valid research.
Right. There are experts. The vast majority of experts would agree with what you just said, yes. And there's a federal panel even tomorrow is going to be taking a look at hepatitis B vaccines and potentially delaying when those should be administered to infants. Again, these are vaccines that have been in use for decades and decades and have saved
generations,
millions of lives. So the idea in Illinois with this new law is to say whatever the federal government is saying, this state has its own recommendations for doctors. Mm-hmm. It's intended to expand some vaccine access in pharmacies. Kids as young as 3 can now get flu and COVID shots in pharmacies as opposed to going to having to make a doctor's appointment for that.
So this will allow people in Illinois to at least go get their shots, take their kids to get their shots. They don't have to go through extra paperwork, at least in theory. And will this also allow their insurance, their health insurance, to pay for it?
Right, yeah. But regardless of whatever the federal recommendations are on vaccines and however they might change, this law calls for state-regulated health plans, which is a lot of health plans. They have to cover basically what were routine vaccinations for many generations, regardless of any new edicts from Washington.
Okay. Claire, I want to switch gears here a little bit. Give us a weather report. It's cold out?
We're entering the sub-zero tonight,
Patrick.
Is it cold? It's actually going to be the coldest air we've had yet this winter season. Took a while for winter to arrive, but she's here and she's not being quiet about it. Wind chills predicted to reach negative 15 degrees tonight and tomorrow. That's the latest from the National Weather Service. Lows tonight, the actual temperature, negative 7.
So,
and lows tomorrow near negative 10, but the real feel will feel real, Patrick, closer to what those wind chills are. So if you're outside.
So wait, what's it going to feel like tomorrow morning?
It's going to feel like potentially negative 20.
Wow. So, okay, wind I have chill. To say, the listeners of Say More know, and it's annoying of me that I talk about biking in. I know people, it sounds like I'm not bragging, but I got to say, when there's ice on the ground and snow, I don't bike. I'm not going to bike if it feels like it's negative 20. I understand our buddy Mitch here did bike in this morning. Mitch, how you feeling?
I did. I would say it's probably like 20 degrees or so out right now.
It's not bad this morning.
Okay, yeah, I'm hoping the temperatures hold for the next few hours.
Yeah, when is this cold?
This is tonight.
Okay, so you just should just leave after this.
Yeah.
And we are going to get some snow potentially in the afternoon as well, okay. Sort of a precursor to the cold, signaling to you, visibly, get inside.
Okay.
What the OEMC, Chicago's Office of Emergency Management, is recommending.
Okay.
So now, wait a minute. Mitch Armantrout, you rode your bike to Navy Pier today.
I did.
It's 20 degrees.
You know, but I was just telling our friends in the newsroom that former WBZ great Matt Kiefer, he always schooled me on the fact that you can always add like 20 to 25 or so degrees on top of the temperature when you're trying to estimate what you need to gear up to get through it.
Okay.
So honestly, 20 degrees is not too bad. I probably wouldn't go too much lower than that, though.
Okay, I was going to ask what your threshold
is.
Wait,
was it plot like the you if the streets that felt safe?
Streets were pretty clear.
Okay.
I think 18th Street, kind of the South Loop, could use a little love. There's kind of a snowdrift that kind of comes out of nowhere on the Lakefront Trail near Randolph, if any folks are listening.
These are up-to-the-minute tips for anyone who's planning to bike,
bike
downtown
today.
Claire, is there anything else you're watching?
Well, this is kind of interesting. We remember sort of the propaganda-style videos that came out of the Trump administration's deportation blitz. A lot of images captures at part of, when there was an apartment building that was raided overnight.
South Shore, right.
That's correct. So a D.C.-based legal group is suing the Trump administration to essentially release all that video footage that was filmed during that raid at that Chicago apartment complex, basically saying that these images, these videos, hype reels, if you will, that they put together were central to their strategy of gaining public support for the raids in Chicago and the suburbs. So this is a suit filed by the group Democracy Forward saying that they want all the footage released. So we'll see what comes of that, but kind of interesting, given that this was, something that we talked a lot about on this radio station.
Yeah. Right. Mitch, one more question for you about your story about a potential blow to the hemp industry in Illinois, which is not insignificant.
No, it's a billion-dollar industry, if you ask folks in that world. These are hemp products. Basically, they affect people like weed, but technically it's not due to very chemical technicalities and a loophole in a 2018 federal law. That loophole was closed last month with a ban that'll take effect next year. But now there's a movement in the city council to ban those even before that ban takes effect, potentially by the end of this year. There's a measure in the city council committee that will be up for a vote later today. And I think we're already seeing business owners really coming out hard against this. They're kind of being ramped out with this federal ban next year, but we're talking about potential jobs being lost in the meantime, too.
Well, we'll watch for your story on that later at suntimes.com. That's Mitch Armantrout. Thank you so much for joining us. And thank you to WBEZ morning anchor Claire Lane.
This episode of In the Loop was produced by me, Sienna Greaves, and edited by Ethan Schwab. Sasha Ann Simons is our host. For more in-depth coverage of news and culture in Chicago, be sure to subscribe to this podcast. For a full archive of the show, head over to wbez.org/in the loop. Thanks for listening.